Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi there. Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. In the studio with me today, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. Your phone calls here. Glad you're with us today.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon and Sherry. And boy, I love doing the program with them, and from what I hear, you do too. I want to read you something that just came in the mail. It says, "Dear Steve and cohorts, I consider you to be my cohorts."
Aw, hearts.
I like that cohort concept.
"I listen every day on WRGN, Scranton, Wilkes Bar, Pennsylvania. You have a great ministry. I have learned so much. At one point in my depression, I contemplated suicide. You guys saved me through your radio ministry."
Wow.
"Praise God. P.S. I need one of your Bibles that you talk about." Well, this person donated $100 and we sent her a Bible.
Nice.
And this is a 78-year-old person.
Oh,
and we're so
wow.
grateful for this letter. Now, what she said was, your radio ministry saved me. And so sometimes it's not going to a counselor. Sometimes it's not a New Life Weekend. It's just the radio program that has some kind of healing effect on people. We're so grateful to get to do this. If you want to partner with us, call us right now and support us. And all of these things, they go on your tally sheet also. We love seeing people transform. I'm going to go right to the phones here, and I'm going to talk with Ann from Salisbury, Maryland. WOLC is the station. Hi there, Ann.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
What could we help you with today?
Well, I have a question. I wanted to know, how can you tell if somebody is trying to control you? I have a friend on the other side of the States
mm-hmm.
that calls me almost every night, and she's down all the time, and I lift her up and I pray for her and all, and it's almost like she's depending on me to pray for her to keep her going.
Yeah. Another question would be, how do you know if someone's trying to control you, or how do you know if someone's just using you? And
yes.
And it's an unhealthy use, because they ought to be dealing with someone not on the phone, but face-to-face. We face that all the time. People call us, and what we want them to do is get face-to-face with another human being rather than stay at home, isolated, and call and be miserable.
Yes.
So it does sound like to me, if she's calling you every day and you're feeling this way, that probably something needs to change. Mylon, Sherry, what are you guys thinking?
Well, Ann, I was just wondering what it would look like, or if you feel you even have the permission to not pick up.
Sometimes I don't, and yes, I do have that permission sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So is it hard for you to not pick up then when she calls?
Yes.
Okay, because you, worry about her, that she's going to fall deeper into despair?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
So what she's doing, Steve is right, she's using you as her lifeline, and that is an unhealthy, she has unhealthy access to you. She needs to kind of become more socially networked, right? More connected with other people, that you're not her only lifeline. And she won't do that as long as you keep being her lifeline.
Sometimes you can say to someone like this, now don't call me back until you've called the church and signed up for that women's Bible study.
Good point, Steve.
And then when she calls it, now did you call? Okay, you didn't. Well, do that tomorrow and then call me back. We'll take a break. We'll come right back after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt loved.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. He's the author of How We Love and the new book, How We Love Our Kids, with his wife, Kay Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Denham, and me, Steve Arterburn. And here we are talking to Mary from Philadelphia. WFIL is the station. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, I've been struggling, and it's been going on for a while.
How long is a while?
About 20, like 15.
15 years? Okay. What's been going on for 15 years?
Well, I found magazines that were my husband's first.
Pornographic magazines?
Yeah.
When did you discover those?
That was about...
Was that 15?
15 to 20 years
okay.
ago.
Okay. All right. Magazines?
All right. Then I went to a pastor. He said, well, if you throw those away, you know, he'll just get new ones. But when my husband found out I threw them away, he said, oh, I'm going to throw some of your stuff away. He didn't, like, discuss, you know, like you guys say about,
right.
you know, getting help or anything.
Yeah. And so sad.
So that was a long time ago. Well, then, like, say I would find them again, and I would throw them out again, and I was, like, miserable, but... I never left because I couldn't.
What do you mean you couldn't?
Well, I stayed at home with my children. I didn't have them funds. I felt like I couldn't. I really didn't want to.
Yeah.
Because I always wanted to help the marriage. I wanted to stay married, and I wanted to.
Well, and back then there weren't a lot of resources around.
Right.
Help guys like
know that. About porn addiction.
Yeah.
Or sex.
Right.
I didn't know anything
so
about it.
So what's going on now?
Well, now it's, I found it on the computer,
mm-hmm.
his history,
mm-hmm.
and when I say, like, confront him, it's a fight, and he said he doesn't go to counseling, he doesn't go to Bible study, and I feel like if I say something about it, he gets really mad, and he, like, yells at me, and then
okay.
say, like...
So what's the question for us, then?
Well, since I stay, I'm not leaving, and I stay, and I'm struggling with this, and I do all kinds of stuff for myself, but I always feel like I should maybe get a divorce or leave.
Now,
I
have to assume that the sexual intimacy between the two of you is about zero. Is that right? Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. And I've been struggling with that for quite some time also.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when a man does pornography. It actually neuters him. It renders him incapable of being a healthy sexual man with a real live human being, and that's what's happened. Mylon, what do you, when you hear this, hear her voice, the tone, the not doing anything but throwing things out, how could you help her?
Well, Mary, you sound very guarded, hesitant, and cautious just in your voice tone. And yet you said, well, I had several goals. I wanted to stay in the marriage, and I wanted to help the marriage. And I would have to certainly say, and I'm sure you would agree, you haven't helped the marriage. Your strategies haven't helped anything. You stayed. That strategy has worked. You've made that happen. And so I'm not sure that you can really do anything in this current situation you've allowed yourself to be in, because you're not probably willing to make the hard choices.
And another piece of evidence is that he has essentially said to you, my pornography
is more important.
Is more important than you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, now this is it. I always felt like I wanted to leave, or maybe could leave. I just felt I couldn't. The children, the funds, I couldn't do it. And I still feel like I can't do it. So,
well, that's what Mylon is saying. Because another person might have said, there's no way I can leave this man. Okay, now let me figure out how I can leave this man.
Sure.
And
but
then
I am.
And I've heard people do this. The woman finds a shelter to go put her children in. And as she's walking out the door, she says to her husband, you have forced me, because you're not willing to leave and you're not willing to stop, you have forced me to do the only thing that we have the funds to do. I'm taking our children, and we're going to live in a shelter. And I hope that you and your pornography enjoy yourself here in our home. And out the door she goes. Now, that's what another person did. But you don't have that frame of mind. And so you kind of are at a point where if you're not willing to do anything, and he's already told you you're not as important as pornography, you don't have a lot of options.
Yeah. Well, there is one other thing she could do.
Okay.
She could do the legal route, which is to either get a separation or a divorce. Even if she says, I don't believe in divorce, she could get a divorce that would allow her to have half of the funding of the home and give her resources. Because if she stayed home with the kids, like she said she did, she's entitled in most states.
Right.
To that, which then gives her the leverage to be able to leave with the loop. Hold to the husband, if you want me back, you have to give this up.
Yeah.
Until then, I will establish my rights to have freedom from this, and I also therefore have the provision with the legal protection, because I am deserving of this protection.
That's a bold move.
That's a bold move, because the first thing you have to do is you have to get an attorney. See? And he probably controls all the money. Is that right?
Somewhat. I mean, I have a little bit of
afford a turn. See, we're trying to do something that doesn't just break you guys up, but it wakes him up, and he has to get well. He has to get. He's an addict.
He doesn't admit, but he doesn't admit.
Well, of course not. He doesn't need to.
He says he doesn't do it.
He doesn't need to.
But Mary, darling, we know better than that. Don't you know better than that by now?
I know, but that's what I guess I feel like. Then I want to forget about it.
Uh-huh. And Mary, that's what you've been doing the whole time you've been married, is forgetting about it. And that forgetting about it has kept him sick, and it has kept you in a very victim place. You have got to rise up, my friend. You have got to rise up and get some other women around you and get some help. Get some support. Get with other women.
Because nobody talks about it. They don't talk about it.
I know.
Some are talking about it. Some are telling their husbands to get help. Some are going to Sex Addicts Anonymous, Sex Anon, which are the meetings for the spouses of sex addicts. There are things that you can. How old are your kids?
Well, they're old, 22.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of free time on your hands, because he's not connecting with you. Why don't you go to some meetings where you might meet some women that have made some moves? You might discover some things you could do.
Yeah, I'd like to find one of those meetings.
Okay. Well, you have to go online and you have to type in the search engine Sexenon.
For women. For that don't do it, but
right. It's a support group for women.
And
it's COSA, COSA, or even a good, if you can't find a COSA group in your area, to find a codependency group where you can go, because in that group, there are going to be women very much like yourself.
Does he drink?
A little bit.
Because you can always go to an Al-Anon meeting, too, if they don't have any other kind of meeting in your area. But in Philadelphia, you've got a lot of different meetings. Until you're willing to stand up and do something other than feel like you need to do something, things aren't going to change.
But one of the steps you can do to help her with that, Steve, is to do the educational pieces. Go online, toss in these words into Google, look for groups, go visit them. And really educate yourself.
I would be irritating him. I would go online and I would find out the signs of sexual addiction. And I would leave those open on the computer so that when he goes to do his pornography, he would look at that.
Yeah.
And so I'm calling a spade a spade.
Sure.
I'm saying this is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And then you send that same thing to the pastor that told her, well, he'll just buy some more.
Right.
That makes me so mad.
Okay, I'm going to send you every man's marriage and every woman's marriage. Let me send you Every Heart Restored. That's what I'll send you. Every Heart Restored, coming your way. Maybe it will help you. Let's talk to Lynn from Los Angeles, California. She is listening on KKLA. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on in your life today?
I've been married for almost 20 years. When I was a very young woman, I had a child out of wedlock, married that father, had an affair, and he put in for divorce. We got the divorce. We had two children together. And then I married the man that I had the affair with. And we are still married. And the challenge that I have personally is when things go wrong in our relationship of being communicative and close emotionally, I really feel as though it's partly a consequence of that decision. I also feel that our children and their behaviors that are not, you know, Christ-like are also a part of that consequence.
You mean you're lacking closeness in the marriage that you have now with the gentleman you had the affair with, and you think that's a consequence?
I do. I wonder if it's because I didn't have enough respect for God to wait, because I really think he may have excused me out of the marriage even before my actions.
Okay. Well, it's obvious that at that time in your life, you weren't really looking for what was God's best in your life, right?
Until then, I was until then, and then I made the decision to do what I knew he didn't want me to do.
And so you, for whatever reason, you made these choices, and now 19 years later, you're still wondering if you're paying for the sin that you committed 19 years ago.
Honey, you know that's going to just keep you in a condemned place.
I know.
Yeah, condemnation is really not good for any of us.
Tell me what kind of ministry you're involved with. What do you do to minister to other people?
Well, we just relocated again. We've been moving every 2 to 3 years. My husband's a military soldier. And so I do reconnect at each location. We just joined a new church here where we are, and just finished membership Monday night, new membership class Monday night.
Well, what ministry are you going to get involved with there?
It depends on where they need me. The previous church I was in, the preschool ministry, and for a little while I was in the choir ministry.
Mm-hmm. Just think of, if you were able to resolve this, just think of how much help you could be to pre-marriage couples or couples that are recently married, and you could probably save a lot of marriages if you were free to minister versus staying in this place of victim and condemnation which is exactly where I think Satan wants you to stay.
Yeah, I do too, and that's why I just...
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with ministering, even though you may be experiencing some of the consequences 19 years later. Just experiencing the normal consequences 19 years later doesn't mean that God is still holding this against you. You know, a person that kills someone and is in jail 19 years later doesn't mean God didn't forgive them. It's just they're paying a price for it.
But how do you get beyond that? I mean,
that's
the part I don't know how to get beyond.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll help you with that after we take a break, okay?
Okay.
So you hang on. A lot of times people wonder, well, how do I get beyond this? And how do I get out of this life of every time something happens, I'm wondering, is it because of this sin I committed years ago? What a horrible place to be. God is a God of second chances. And most likely, the sin that you've committed that you're so worried about was not the unpardonable sin. And there is wholeness and there is healing. And yes, you may still experience some consequences. But God wants you to live a whole, healed, holy life. We'll be back right after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're talking with Lynn, who married the person she had the affair with 19 years ago, and it kind of haunts her still. Mylon, what are your thoughts on this? And then we'll hear a little bit from Sherry.
Well, Lynn, your struggle is, the answer to your question is yes and no. There are consequences to choices that we make, and so we do reap the consequences of those. There's also the no is the part that says, well, you know, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us to fall on him. Now, your children are little sinners, and you see them when you say, well, they don't act Christ-like. What I say is, well, then you somehow expect that somehow your children aren't going to have any sinful problems. Your marriage shouldn't have any. That the effects of the curse shouldn't apply to you. Which tells me that perhaps you're suffering from idealism, which may have been something that plagued you in your affairs. There's a better person out there, a better person, a better state of being, a better way my kids could be, a better way our marriage could be. And idealism is deadly. Because reality is always smacking it right in the face, saying, no, it's not ideal. So tell me, do you think you resonate with the concept of being an idealist?
Always wanting it to be a better situation, you mean?
Yep. As opposed to accepting reality.
I could say that.
All right.
I guess.
So then that's why I think that is your key problem of relaxing your expectations and asking, what should I be expecting from a husband in the military moving every 3 years? And I don't know what his roles are, but be sure to thank him for us, for his service and your service to our country. But what really then, this thing that plagues you and the guilt that's chronically plaguing you is this gap between ideal and real. And if you learn to bring those two closer together, you'll find yourself in a position where you may feel less pressure when things go south, whether it's in your marriage or your children or their behaviors. Sherry?
You know what, Lynn, what I'm hearing a little bit is I think that you have lived a pretty isolated life.
Mm.
And I think aloneness and disconnection have plagued you for a long time, probably growing up.
Yeah.
And then in your first marriage, had the affair, and guess what? You married a man who has a hard time being emotionally disconnected. And now you move every 2 to 3 years, and it's hard to connect with people for any length of time.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that you, in your relationship with God, may even feel disconnected with Him, in the sense that that condemnation and the enemy wants you to believe a lie, which is that, God, you did something so bad that God is even disconnected from you.
Yeah, there are times I feel like it's because of my choice that I have to pay this permanent consequence.
Sure. Honey, I get it, but guess what? Jesus covered that choice with His blood. And if you continue to believe the lie that Jesus, you know, and say that Jesus didn't die for that sin, you're going to stay in your condemnation, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You need to receive the truth and allow the truth to set you free, because the truth of condemnation is keeping you stuck. It's actually keeping you off the real subject, which is, I'm married to a man and we're struggling with intimacy in our marriage.
Yeah.
Right? That you have somewhere to grow with that, right? You can start looking at the attachment. Mylan's book, How We Love, would be a great resource for you. There's movement there. Then you can grow. But as long as you stay isolated and in condemnation, you're going to, it's like the enemy's going, you know, checkmate.
She needs a grace-filled church with grace-filled women and connect, go and say, I hate connecting, and connect anyway.
And take this secret out of her life and bring it out into relationship with other people.
That's right.
And she's going to find that we all have skeletons in the closet, and we all have things that we think, well, is this pain in my life because I did that thing a decade ago? And there isn't a person on planet Earth that couldn't come up with that and ask that same question.
Right.
Yeah.
But as I enter into relationship and I realize we all have this, you're right, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, and that's where we have to go, into places of openness.
Did she do something worse than being a Christian and saying, I never even met Jesus? Aren't you a Christian? I don't even know who this guy is. That's what Peter did.
Yeah.
And that's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if Peter was saying, you know, I'm not going to write this letter. I'm not going to write this letter to this wonderful church, or this church that's in trouble. I mean, all of us have these things. Peter, Paul, everybody. That we could say, well, maybe I just shouldn't do this. And my point is, you need to free yourself to get into the lives of other people too. You need to use this, and your life doesn't make a lot of sense right now until you transform this into something that can be used by other people. Well, I'm glad that you called. Hold on, we'll send you How We Love. That'll be our gift to you. Maybe you are a person that is struggling with some sin from your past. Hey, have you really read the Bible? You know, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It doesn't say well, unless you married the person you had an affair with, and then we just can't deal with that. Or unless you murdered someone years ago. No, that's what you have to do. That's it. It's just that simple. So maybe you've been focusing on your sin more than the answer to our human condition. And maybe God would like a little more attention than you're giving something from the past. You can do that. We'll take a break and we'll come back for the second half of New Life Live right after this. Glad you're with us today on New Life.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back. One of the things we do here at New Life is we try to help churches connect people in healing groups so that they can experience the community of the church. And one of those groups is the Healing is a Choice group. And your church could be doing, with all your small groups and cell groups, we've seen many churches do it, you could be going through this, or your recovery program. But here is a phone call from a pastor who just finished up using Healing as a Choice. I want to play it for you now.
This is Pastor Roger Hatfield from Walnut Grove, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I just wanted you to know that we completed our Healing is a Choice series just last evening in our Living in Victory 12-Step Recovery group. It was a wonderful series. It took us 4 months. We were not in a hurry, and there were salvations, there were recoveries, there were spiritual healings. People got right with God. I believe that some marriages were saved. It was just a wondrous, wondrous series. I thank you for recommending that book and workbook and video. We used it, and God was all over it, and I wanted to share that good news with you. So I just want you to know that it's greatly appreciated, and angels danced in heaven, and God got glory. So thank you for the Healing is a Choice materials. It was a great tool. May you be blessed.
The thing that I love about what he said was God was all over it, and angels danced in heaven. If you want to cause some angels to dance, call us and ask for our group facilitator, or just say, hey, we want to do that Healing is a Choice group, and we'll set you up with the materials that you need for your church. You just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now let's go to Elaine. She's from Scranton, Pennsylvania. WRGN is the station. Hello, Elaine. How are you? Elaine?
Hi.
Hi. What's going on?
I've been praying that you'd be very patient, and I've tried really, really hard to compact my the whole picture for you so you can answer my question, knowing, you know, all the surrounding facets. My husband and I have been married for 43 years, and from the start, I did everything wrong, and I was severely codependent. And I'm ashamed to say I just now, in the past 2 years of my healing, have realized how much of it's my fault. But now I have the ability to stand up and take charge of my life. And I owe a lot to you guys. I would like to insert, like right here, I don't want to take a lot of time, but I just can't tell you how much help and healing I've received from all of you at New Life.
Thank you.
It's just meant so much to me that this past year I finally got it with God. I'm close to God now in a way that I never could be before.
Wow.
I've never been able to quit perceiving God as a big giant in the sky who's ready to punish me when I mess up. And
sure.
I always messed up.
Yeah. Okay.
Every time I got on track and I realized it was because of my messed up past.
Okay.
And now I work on... been working on reframing since October, and I'm just learning to speak up, and I'm using a lot of just so many of the resources I just absorb and apply wherever they help me, and I just thank you so much.
You're welcome. Now, we're going to need to get to what is it that's going on in your life right now?
Well, my husband's always been controlling, and with my codependency, that just moved things right along real quick.
Sure.
To disaster in our marriage. And the issue that I'm calling about is my husband's never perceived anything wrong in marriage. He concerns himself with making money, and as long as he can act rich and avoid realities of his marriage or his life in general, he's fine. We never had money. We've always struggled. And I have always saved us financially.
Mm-hmm.
We were good 2 years, and after that, I was always struggling on the edge financially. And this time, it's different. It's another impossible situation coming up with because of different issues. But this time, I stand to lose $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
Of what I personally invested in time and money to get us on a credit card program so that we could pay off $100,000 debt.
All right.
And now that I'm kind of got my head on straight, I'm trying to perceive what is the fine line? How do I know between enabling and just continuing to try to be a good helpmate?
Hmm. Okay, is that the question? Where's the fine line?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know I want to keep helping him, but I don't want to keep enabling him. And
right.
It would always have ended in disaster previous to this, and it's about to again.
Yeah, well, you want to help both of you, but you don't want to enable him to be unhealthy. What do you think, Mylon?
I'm wondering what he's spending the money on, Elaine. Just, you know, sounds like he's spending a ton of money.
Oh, equipment, tractors. He had his own business up until the end of this year, and that's part of the crash.
Okay.
He had to let go of the business because of a chainsaw accident. And we're facing $125,000 life or hospital bills because he never had insurance on us. He just spent it on things he felt was necessary.
Okay. All right.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he's got some addictions. You know, he's kind of disconnected, avoiding reality. I think he's more avoidant, period. Avoidant in his style, the attachment style, is more avoidant, and that's why he's kind of workaholic, spendaholic.
Well, and just because he doesn't see things your way doesn't mean that you're not right. The concept of a helpmate does not mean that you help a person walk over a cliff. You have to be the voice of reason. Some of my biggest heroes are women who stand up and tell their husbands no more.
Mm-hmm.
And in that context, because they're not being the godly man they need to be, it is not the right thing to do to just be the silent victim your whole life, thinking I'm being the helpmeet and I'm being submissive and quiet. You have to have a voice. So I would tell your husband where the problems are and what you will continue to do and not do anymore. And I would seek help. I would seek help to help you establish the boundary with him.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a controlling man, it's going to take perhaps a group of people from the church, an interventionist, a lawyer, etc., mm-hmm. some help to be able to, you know, firmly establish this.
Because she needs more help than just intimidate
her, and she'll cave.
Yeah, so she needs more help than just us giving her advice. She needs to have a team.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, I'm so glad you called. I'm sorry you're going through this, and what a fortunate man he is to have married someone like you, and I just hope and pray that we help you get to that fine line.
I'm just so excited that Elaine made a choice to grow.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm not a different lady than I was two years ago.
It's just wonderful.
It is. And
that's got to bug him.
Yeah. And you know, these oppositional people are really like a gymnastics or a gymnasium where we are pushing weights and getting stronger. And until we resist them, we won't get stronger.
Yeah. Good point. Okay, let's talk to Janet from Alhambra, California.
Alhambra?
KKLA.
It's Alhambra.
Alhambra? Is it Alhambra?
Alhambra, yeah, you're outvoted.
You know, we had a call earlier today from Islamabad, Pakistan.
Did you really?
And so maybe that's what I was confusing. We sure did. Listens on the internet. Okay, Janet, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just thankful that you stay in the program all day long, and so I get a chance to talk to you.
Well, we're glad you did. You, my dear, are our final caller of the day, of the program, of the week. How about that?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Woohoo!
You're welcome.
That makes my day already. Well, my question, since my last call, I better make it quick. My question is how I should deal with a husband who is still in his own world, like stuck in his own world and own childhood and not taking the role as a husband and a father.
All right. Well, we can help you with that right after we get back from this message. You are listening or watching New Life Live, and we love to hear from you. You know, you can go to newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE and you can make a comment, anything. We love to hear from you. We love to connect with you. So please let us do that. Right now, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and then we'll reconnect with you and hear what Janet has to say about her childy husband.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
my kids to think of me as the angry dad? Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Janet. And Janet, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, now your husband is in childhood. Still.
Yes.
Okay, and you want to know how to bring him out. Mylan, how could she, Sherry, how do you take a person stuck in their childhood and help them become a responsible,
mature...
Does
he realize, Janet, he's a child?
Well, we have been married for 14 years. We have two kids. And in all these 14 years, everything that he put on schedule is what he likes to do and his work. And he never put our family...
Okay.
Okay.
So now that's a little bit different. Do his parents still live in the area?
No.
So then he's not acting childlike. He's acting selfish, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So then he's all about himself, and he is very much an emotionally avoidant person, is what you're telling me. And he's about his world, and he does not have a priority of the wife and the children. And I think that's what you need. I would remove the word child from your vocabulary, and I would just simply ask him, have you ever said to him, you know, your whole world seems to revolve around what you want, and you're acting like a married single person. I'm just wondering, do you see life that way, or do you somehow have this sense that this is your privilege or your entitlement? Mm-hmm. And you have to really ask, because some people actually do think that whatever they're doing is fine.
Right.
That nobody's ever reflected back to them, you know, you're a married single, you're not a married person. Sherry, what do you think?
I so wish a couple like this could come to our marriage
conference. Oh, I'd love to have them.
That would be great
change
for
everything.
You.
Yeah.
How old are your kids?
Any thoughts on this?
Janet?
She's not.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? The word narcissism was going across my brain.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
it's a word that's out there a lot. But I would say, Janet, if you want to just begin to look that up and kind of see if that fits. And really, it's going to take a relationship to pull that person out. Sometimes they have to lose a relationship or feel like, you know, something's going to be taken away from them before they're able to get their eyes off of themselves.
Yeah.
So
sometimes these people grow up in a home where they've been so their own world that when they get married, they don't know how to make the shift into relationship.
They just want to repeat the
what they've been doing their whole life.
Hey, I want to show you something.
Show us something.
You can see this if you're watching on television, but this is a watch, and the ad says it's timeless. Yeah, it's timeless, not because it's old, but because it's only been in existence for a day. So it's been around no time. A watch like this was sold through auction for $11,000. You can buy this for $149 because it's a fake. It's a counterfeit. It's not the real thing. Who knows if the thing even keeps time or how long it would be before the gold peels off. You see, sometimes we are satisfied with the perfect counterfeit and we miss the real thing. And that's what happens in sexual addiction and with pornography. And on the line right now is Jason Martinkus. He is our presenter at Every Man's Battle. And Jason, you've got men that are stuck in the counterfeit of true sexual intimacy.
That is correct. Guys that show up at Every Man's Battle, they are stuck in that counterfeit intimacy. And you know, the really hard thing about that for most of the guys that show up is they know there's a very tangible, very real sense of their sexuality and intimacy that they get from this, but it's so short-lived, it's so temporary and so brief.
Right. Over and over again, we hear of men that are not attracted to their wives anymore. They're so into their pornography. Is there hope that that can be reversed?
There is. There is. We lay a foundation for that at the workshops. We talk a little bit about the neurochemistry and the brain chemistry that goes into that. And we believe wholeheartedly God is in the business of rewiring minds, that we can return to the wife of our youth and appreciate her beauty and value her.
Mm. How much immorality does God tolerate in a man's life?
Tolerate is that's a strong word.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that we talk about is that the truth always comes out. You know, the truth always, always comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that God does not tolerate immorality in our lives. It's just a question of how long until it comes out, until it hits the fan.
Yeah. He doesn't even want a hint of it.
That's right.
Well, what do you say to somebody who's teetering on whether or not to call? They know their husband's stuck. He's in trouble. They don't know whether to call.
You have to do it. Maybe the very thing that saves his life saves your marriage. At the very least, it will be a turning point in his life and his journey with who he is in Christ. And that's a big thing that we talk about at the workshop. It's not just about getting whole in our sexual integrity.
Yeah.
It's also about learning to become the man that God is calling us to be.
Well, Jason, thank you for that. And anybody interested in the Everyman's Battle Workshop, Jason is the one that does the presenting. He's fantastic. He shares his story. And you will not regret making a phone call for your husband, or if you're struggling yourself, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and get involved in Everyman's Battle. I know it can help. You may be struggling, and you may be going through hell on earth. My wife was talking to me about one of her favorite authors, John Piper, and he says, if you're going through hell as a Christian, well, the good news is it's the only hell you're ever going to have to go through.
Wow. That's a brilliant thought.
That was so good. I wish I had thought of that. I didn't even come close. But isn't that a great source of hope? That if we're struggling, if it's painful, if it's hopeless, we think, and it's just hell on earth, it's the only one we'll have to experience. This is as bad as it gets for the Christian. And if maybe you've never accepted Christ into your life, maybe you're still working hard to try to be a good person to get into heaven. I've given up on that, and I've accepted the fact that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. He took on that pain, and now I can live without having to pay the full penalty of that. And he stands by his dad, God himself, and when I come before him, he's going to say, he professed me before other people, and now I vouch for him as worthy to be in your presence. As unholy as I am, I can't be in the presence of a holy God. So Jesus stands and makes me holy, makes me righteous, so that I can stand before God. He sanctifies me. I appreciate everybody that's listening. If you are interested in any of the workshops that we do, please know that all you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, go to newlife.com. Also, you know we can't do this, we can't handle these kind of calls unless you support this ministry. We need your help in every way possible. And so if you can, call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Tell us you want to be part of the New Life giving family. When you join Club New Life, we send you these great videos by Mylon Kay. You can't see them anywhere else. You become part of the club and you have access. Literally, I did the 300th video just the other day. These are on issues that you will not find them addressed in this way any other place in the world. I mean, we're so thrilled to be able to bring that resource to our Club New Life members. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's $30 a month. And we suggest that you continue to drink your Starbucks coffee and be able to find that $30 a month. You know, everybody says, well, if you just give up Starbucks, well, you don't have to do that. Maybe you can do both. A gift of any amount, I'll send you a great CD by Dave Stoop and myself on how to make changes and how to make them last. Well, thank you, Mylan. Thank you, Sherry. And thanks to all of you who do support us. And those that listen and watch, we don't take it for granted. You have a lot of things you could do with your time. Thank you for giving it to us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.